Well done, you will say, I trust your striving as you serve the Lord that you desire to hear those words from your Savior when you meet him face to face. Luke chapter number 10, just going to give a little bit of a recap from last week and we'll go on this morning. And let me encourage you, gentlemen, stay tuned in. Just because I'm reading a passage of scripture that has to do with a couple ladies does not mean there's not something you can learn from it. Amen? There's so much within the Word of God that we can learn from. It doesn't matter who the Bible is speaking of, whom it's speaking to as well. We can apply some things. And I'm hoping today, again, as we talked last week in reference to cumbered Christianity, ladies are not the only ones that get stressed. Amen. Ladies aren't the only ones that have a little bit of anxiety and worry in their life. And gentlemen, if you've ever raised a teen daughter, you've worried. You ever had teen girls that you're responsible for, you worried. So don't let this slip your mind or to think, or how does this apply to me? If you'll bear with me and listen, I believe you can get some things that will help you. As I mentioned last week, we talked about the idea that anxiety, stress, and worry were words that we were all familiar with and we have experienced in our life. Here in our story, Martha was unnecessarily overextending or overtaxing herself. We talked about cumberedness or cumbered Christianity. It means to drag all around. Cumbered Christianity has an unrealistic plans. They must be the first to arrive, the last to leave. Always in a hurry to get there or to get things done. Complaining, in other words, does not anyone notice? Isn't that basically what Martha was doing here? Hey, Lord, don't you notice what I'm running around and doing? But yet Martha is over here sitting at your feet and gleaning. When we practice cumbered Christianity, we can impair the spirit of our home and even our church, is what we said last week. And as we recap these points, and we'll move on to point number 3 this morning. Last week, we looked at the preference of her choosing. We said she chose rest and that she chose to be restored. And dear friends, at some time in our life, man, women, boy, or girl, we need to be restored. We need a restored focus, a restored faith, and a restored fervor or vigor in our life of service. And then we looked at point number 2, the position of her choosing. Remember, she chose humility and she chose honor. And how are we choosing in those areas today in reference to our service, our times of serving and giving unto others? And now this morning, we'll look at point number 3, our final point, the purpose of her choosing. The purpose of her choosing. Why does she choose what she did? Why does she make the decision to sit of serving, to sit at the feet of Jesus? She chose the spiritual. She chose to hear the Word of God. And I trust that you're here this morning because you've chosen to come to church to hear the Word of God, to be around other Christians, to fellowship, and to encourage one another, and to be challenged from the Word. Serving is a good thing. Here in verse 42, the Lord says, but one thing is needful. Friends, strive to miss only one teaching time if you can. I know we're all busy. We have jobs. We have family. We have things to do. But strive to be in a church when you're not providentially hindered. Strive to be here where you can be encouraged and challenged, and that you might encourage others. Choose to get a fresh glimpse of Jesus every day of the week. Start off on Sunday morning that it might be the driving force for the rest of your week. So often we think about Monday, we get up and we have the idea that Monday sets the pace of the week. Boy, you have a bad Monday, all the rest of the week is. What about Sunday? What about the first day of the week? What about that time the Lord has set aside for worship and the fellowship and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God to set your pace of the week? Mary recognized the power of the spiritual work of the Word. What about us today? Is the Word of God important enough? Do we see it as being powerful enough? Do we see it as being that driving force, that powerful spiritual need that I need in my life to help me to be better, to help me to be a better man, a better woman, a better father, a better husband? Let's notice a few things in reference to this choosing that she made. She chose the spiritual. She recognized the power of the spiritual work of the Word. Notice God's Word teaches us. God's Word teaches us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, in verse number 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. God's Word teaches us. Do we allow the Word of God to indwell us? Do we allow the Word of God to teach us? Then also notice that God's Word reproves us. And we all need that at one time or another. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And it goes on to say for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that brings us to another thing. Not only does God's Word teach us and reprove us, but it corrects us. It not only reproves, but corrects for instructions in righteousness. Getting into the Word, it not only reproves and corrects, but in 2 Timothy 3:17, it also, we see that God's Word instructs or teaches us. 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, we live in a time today, do you realize that the majority of our problems in our world today, now, I have no statistic, I have no science, but a little research, a little observation. Do you realize the majority of the problems that we have in the world today stem from a couple of things? Number one is leadership. Number two is men, godly leadership at home. If we're not willing to be the man of the house, and we're not willing to be that spiritual leader of our home, which means in order to do that, we need to allow the Word of God to teach us, to reprove us, to instruct us, but also at times to comfort us. Today, as many of you, we have 12, 13 people that have a birthday this in the month of May. Michelle's birthday is today. I went out yesterday during the luncheon and did some more shopping after hours of research on the phone and picked up her gift while she was in the ladies' fellowship. Got it home last night and read the box, read the instructions, and I nicknamed her Cinderella. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. One of those little robot vacuum cleaners. And like the typical man, I did something different. I decided to read the instructions first. Mostly ladies are laughing. You know why? Because there's a lot of truth to it, guys. And if we don't want to read the instructions because we just, well, I'll just wing it. When I get through, I got all these parts left over. Oh, they're probably not necessary. Just throw them back in the box. You know, if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing with the Word of God and we'll just go through life with no instruction. See what I mean? This lesson this morning is not just for ladies, it's also for men. And dear gentlemen, we must be the leaders of our home. We must choose to sit at the feet of Jesus. We must choose to get in the Word of God. We must choose to allow the Word of God to run through us so that I might be the best man for my wife. So that I might be the best man for my daughters, my sons, my grandsons, my granddaughters, that I might be the best Christian for those that are observing and watching our life. I realize today in politics that it's not all men running our world today as it was once upon a time. But the bottom line is God has chosen man to be the spiritual leaders of our home. And gentlemen, we need to step up and allow these things to take place. Allow the Word of God to teach you, to reprove you, to instruct you, and even at times, Psalm 119 and verse 15, to comfort us. This is my comfort in my afflictions, for thy word hath quickened me. My friends, I don't know about you. My heart and my mind needs comfort often when I listen to the news, when I pick up the paper and read the current events. And it goes beyond that. Sometimes it's comfort in other areas. But the Word of God can not only teach, reprove, and correct, and help reprove and correct us, but it also can comfort us. God's Word also leads and guides us if we allow it. Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Mary chose that thing which she needed best. Mary chose that thing which would allow her to sit at the feet of Jesus. Mary chose that thing to allow the words of God, the words of our Savior, the words of Jesus to instruct her. And dear friends, Jesus may not be here with us physically, but he's given us his word. If we will allow it to teach us, to sit at the feet of the Lord in the Scripture, it will help us. It guides us, but also God's Word encourages us. Psalm 30 and verse 5 tells us, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy of and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Are we allowing the Word of God to be applied to our life? Also notice that God's word changes us. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Dear friends, she chose the spiritual. Will we choose the spiritual on a daily basis? Will we choose to wake up tomorrow morning and make sure we have enough time to pull our Bible out and open it and read it? Will we choose to wake up enough time in the morning to spend some quiet time with the Lord in prayer, asking God to help you through the day? But again, that most important part is allowing the Word of God to run through us, that it might help us and encourage us. Will we choose the spiritual? Let me encourage you in this area in reference to the Word of God. Let me share with you four steps to help develop a passion for the Word of God. If you're not finding God's Word teaching you, you're not finding God's Word just reproving, correcting, instructing, comforting you, leading you, and encouraging you, you're not finding God's words changing you, let me encourage you. It's because you're not finding time to be in God's Word. Say amen or oh me. If you want your life to be changed, you want to grow, you got to allow it to be a part of your life. And if we're ignoring the Word of God, we're not allowing it to be a part of us, it can't do anything through us. Four simple things. Number one, commit to being the Word daily. Just make a decision. I'm going to allow the Word of God to teach, to reprove, to correct, to instruct, to comfort, to lead me, to encourage me, to change my life. And I'm going to make a decision today, if you haven't already, I'm going to make a decision to daily be in the Word. Job tells us in Job 23 and verse number 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Folks, if you eat three times a day, I don't know how that started. My mom always told me I only ate once a day and it was all day long. But we've developed a habit. We've developed a habit since birth of eating and we just can't seem to shed it. Have we developed a habit, a ritual, a dedication of being in the Word of God? See, is reading the Bible a necessary part of your day or does it have a low priority in your life? How important is it for you to be in the Word, gentlemen? Ladies, how important is it for you to be in the Word? Ladies, how important is it for you, for your husband, to be in the Word? How is it important for your children, your grandchildren, those friends around you to be in the Word? Make it a priority. Number two, pray for understanding as you read. Psalm 119, verse 18 and 19 says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not the commandments from me. Lord, I'm going to dedicate myself to being your word. Now, Lord, help me to understand. Help me to understand and to grasp it. Some years ago, my family and I were stationed in Fort Hood, Texas. Wonderful duty assignment. We were only there 2 years. Our oldest daughter was born there. Got some good memories, got some bad memories, but had some wonderful memories when it came to church and being in the house of God. And I'll never forget meeting a gentleman. He would come through and visit every once in a while. He was that gentleman that was a little bit different than everyone else. His tie at the top was about this big, and it was always about this short. Always came dressed, his hair slick backed, always carried his Bible, so excited about being in the house of God. He had a second grade education. Could not read. He got saved. God called him to preach. Some people laughed. Some people mocked. You can't even read the Word of God. How are you going to preach the Word of God? And he would just smile and say, my preacher says that God will teach me. My pastor told me, and Psalms tell me that if I read the Word, that God will instruct me and God will teach me. Yeah, that's if you read the Word. He said, yeah, I can't read, but I can listen. He went out and got his Bible on audio. Started listening to his Bible every day. He learned how to read by listening and following along with Alex. Is it Alex Scorby? Scorby used to read the Bible. Some of you old-timers my age and older, you know what I'm talking about. He learned to read. He would get his Bible out and he would read and he would go over and get the cassette out that matched. I'm dating myself, cassette. For some of you who don't know what that is, music things used to come on a little rectangular thing with tape inside of it. See me after service if you've never seen one. I'm sure Brother Daryl has a few of them in his car. he would open his Bible and he would read his text and he would listen. He would read his text and he would listen. He was saved less than a year and began preaching. And every time he visited our church and came through the area, pastor would say, I'll give you 10 or 15 minutes to preach if you'd like. Oh, preacher, I would love an opportunity to preach. I'll tell you what, folks, he stumbled over his words, but he would practice beforehand. He would have a message in his Bible. He would listen to it and follow along to get where he could read a little bit better. And he stumbled his way through it. He learned to read. He could read the Bible better than he could any other book. He got familiar with it. And he began to allow the Word of God to teach him. He chose the spiritual over all the naysayers and made a decision to get into the Word daily. And he protected that time. And he got into the Word and God used him. And dear friends, I'll tell you what. His preaching may not have been dynamic. His preaching may not have been with a lot of verbiage and big words, but it was down to earth and to the point, and he let it go for about 10 minutes every time he got a chance. It blessed me. It challenged me that he was willing to do it, even though everyone knew, and every time he read, he stumbled a little bit. But when he got through reading and he got through praying, there was no stumbling in his preaching. Not at all. I believe it's because he spent time in the Word, and he prayed for understanding. He begged God to help him. Gypsy Smith. Any of y'all ever heard of Gypsy Smith? He's got an autobiography out. If you can find it, get it. If you can find it, get it. I've read his autobiography twice. Gypsy Smith told a man who said he had received no inspiration from the Bible, although he had gone through it several times. Gypsy Smith said, "Let it go through you once, then you will tell a different story." How often do we read the Word to check a box, but how often do we get in the Word to allow it to go through us? Get in the Word daily. Pray for understanding. And then number three, make your time in the Word special. Don't rush it. Don't squeeze it in, but make it special. Make it important part of your life. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble men than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these sayings were so." Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Mary chose the spiritual. She made a decision to sit at Jesus' feet. And dear friends, number four, in reference to the importance of the Word of God, not only commit to be in the Word, pray for understanding, make your time in the Word special, guard it, protect it. And then number four, find a private place to study and pray. Some of us are a little bit older. Our house is empty. It's easy. But when you've got kids at home, you've got family, you got other things going on. Every time that you try to get away, every time you try to go somewhere, without a doubt, disruptions are going to come your way. Something's going to take place. Devil's going to throw something in there. Guard your time. Your phone is going to ring. And now let me say something real quick and I'll go on. As your pastor, please know, when I'm having my devotions, not when I'm studying for preaching, not when I'm studying for teaching, but when I'm having my devotions and my prayer time, my phone is off. It's off. Now, if it's important, leave a message. Send a text message. When I'm through, it goes back on, or call Michelle. She'll already be up, had her devotions, fixed a pot of coffee, fixed lunch, and cleaned the house before I'm even through with mine. She starts really early in the morning. Guard your time. Make sure that it's important to you. And then again, find a place. Mark 1:35. "And in the morning, rise up great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Dear friends, there's nothing magical about a time of day. Maybe in the culture, maybe in what took place, just like in Arizona in the summer. You get up a lot earlier than folks back east because it's hot. But whatever the time is that you can guard, that you can protect, early, midday, or evening, make sure that it's set aside, that it's important, that it's sacred to you. She chose the spiritual. And then notice, she chose the eternal. She chose the eternal. "Which shall not be taken away from her," is what Jesus said. The choice she made will not be taken away from her. She chose not to lose what she received. What kind of choices are we making today? What kind of choosing are we doing? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break through nor steal. She chose the eternal. She chose what she could not lose. Dear friends, are we taking and choosing that thing, as I mentioned, not only the spiritual and sitting at the feet of Jesus, but also choosing the eternal? Are we giving our life for service? Are we investing in things that are eternal? Are we doing our part in telling others about Christ? Are we doing our part in making a difference? Folks, I don't know about you, but I get excited when I see children come into our church. I get excited when I see teenagers come into our church. I get excited to see them go into Sunday school, to see them go into children's church. I have, through all of my years of ministry, at one time or another, seeing all these children coming in and seeing and knowing that God can make a difference in their life. By the way, I was one of those kids in children's church one day. Some of you were one of those kids that were brought up in church, in children's church, where you heard the word of God. Make a choice to invest in the eternal. She chose the eternal. She could not lose what she received. And notice also, she valued the eternal more than the temporal. What do we put our value on? Things or people? Things that are eternal or things that satisfy in the moment? Matthew 6:33, many of us could quote that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Dear friends, Mary chose that which shall never be taken away. How are we investing our time? How are we investing our talents? How are we investing our finances? Most importantly, our time. You know, if our time is right, investing our time with him. And I've given this illustration hundreds of times, but then again, when we're right this way, it makes everything a lot easier this way. Hard to be right with your wife when you're not right with God, gentlemen. Ladies, it's hard to be right with God when you're not right with your husband. Young people, hard to be right with God when you're not right with mom and dad. Hard to be right with your employers, those you work with, when you're not right with God. Hard to be right with your neighbors when you're not right with God. Hard to be right with your fellow church family when you're not right with God. Everything stems on that relationship here. And when we're right with God, and we're in a position where we should be, in the mind of God, it makes the peripheral out here so much easier in many aspects, but also, most importantly, so much more fruitful. John chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And I give unto them eternal life." I'm going to pause there just for a moment. "And I give unto them eternal life." No church can give you eternal life. No church can give you eternal life. The Baptist doctrine, the Baptist truths cannot give you eternal life. It is he that gives you eternal life. And he says, "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." As believers, we must understand and realize if we have received that eternal life, we have received the spiritual, we have received the eternal, it's not up to us to keep it to ourselves, but also to share it with others. Are we taking that which we have shared with others? Have we taken that which we have learned and received of the Lord? Have we taken those things that God has taught us in private and trying to invest in and share with others? Are we making a difference? Christians must choose spiritual rest stops along the way. We must choose spiritual rest stops. That means worship services, Bible studies, church socials and activities, because they gear down the soul that has been revved up to the max in a world that wants to run wide open and nonstop. Michelle, would you come to the piano? I can remember when I was in Bible college, I worked for Johnson & Johnson, a company called Vistacom, which is a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson. And I examined contact lenses. Monotonous, boring job. But it got paid well. And then later I got out of there and into the computer room and in the mainframe system and worked there the rest of the time I was in Bible college. But I can remember there being working those 12-hour shifts. And even during those 12-hour shifts, when I would take my break with other believers who worked on the production line so that we could encourage and fellowship one another. But by the end of the week, whether I worked 34 hours or 46 to 48 hours, by the end of the week, so to say, I was toast. I was tired, went to school all day, worked all night. I look forward to a weekend of resting. I look forward, most of all, to being in church on Sunday morning. During the week, I look forward to rest areas, break time, lunch time to be with other believers. When I had lunch, when I had a break, I always met with other believers to encourage one another, ask them how things are going, that we might encourage one another. And dear friends, in this life that we live in and we get so revved up, even if you're retired, even if you're not working and punching a clock, if you're getting out into the community and you're driving around here on the interstate or anywhere else, after a while, you just feel like you just need to wind down. You're all revved up. You need to settle down a little bit. You watch 15 minutes of the news, you'll feel the same way. You just see, why not be around other believers? Why not take those rest areas of worship, those rest areas of Sunday school, those rest areas in the middle of the week of that midweek service and say, Lord, help my spirit to wind down in this revved up world. And Father, help me to take what I've learned and invest in others. Mary made the decision. Martha made the decision. Martha decided to be cumbered about, pulled every which direction, serving anybody and everybody. She was a wonderful servant. But there are some times that we need to choose to sit. There's a time to serve and to be involved, and there's a time to sit and soak and absorb to share with others. And somewhere we need to find a balance to where we know when to serve and when we know when to sit. And if we only have a handful of people doing all the serving and most of the people doing all the sitting and soaking, let me ask, if you're sitting and soaking, when are you going to start serving? Again, amen or oh me? Come on now. I mean, there's got to be a balance. Take what you've learned and then apply it and give to others. Find a ministry. Find a place to serve. And we have plenty, ample opportunity. Mary chose on this occasion not to serve. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. Friend, are you cumbered about with much serving, but no rest for your weary soul? Why be cumbered when you can rest and be restored at the feet of Jesus as and when necessary? Why not purpose in your heart to choose the spiritual things that are eternal? Lord, I want to do all I can to serve, but Lord, give me the knowledge, give me the insight, give me the wisdom when I need to sit and absorb. And by the way, we should be sitting and absorbing in the Word on a daily basis. I'm referring to service and ministry through our local church. There's a time to rest and absorb, and there's a time to serve. Do we have that balance where we have both? And asking for the wisdom and which way to go and when to go, that God may use me most effectively. Let's stand for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Our pianos will be playing here in just a moment. The Lord has spoken to your heart in any aspect this morning. My biggest concern and the most important thing that will take place this morning is that you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. If you're here today and you don't know for sure you spend eternity in heaven, I sure would like to pray for you. I sure would like to pray with you. I sure would like to have an opportunity to share the gospel with you. There's no one looking but me. Maybe you just slip your hand up and down and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Just simply up and down. Say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. By evidence of not seeing any hands,